Recorded Books presents Elie Wiesel, Confronting the Silence, by Joseph Berger. Narrated by Jonathan Todd Ross. A quote from Samantha Power, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, at Elie Wiesel's memorial service, December 1, 2016. Amid all the pain and disappointment of Elie's remarkable life, how is it that the darkness did not envelop him or shield him from the sun? Introduction. To his admirers, Elie Wiesel had the aura of a prophet. He spoke with eloquent simplicity about grand moral themes, balancing his paradoxical phrases so that listeners absorbed his message into their marrow. Whether explicitly or by suggestion, he summoned a personal history that had endured human malice in his flesh. As an orphaned survivor and witness to Auschwitz and Buchenwald, he spoke with unusual authority. At times, his strikingly chiseled face had a haunted cast that the French novelist François Mauriac described as the look of Lazarus, the acolyte whom Jesus was said to have raised from the dead. And yet those who knew him well remarked how deeply human and unaffected he was. He loved to sing, to join with friends in the Hasidic melodies he had grown up with in Siget, Romania, where he was born, to join in whirling Hasidic wedding dances. He savored the quirks and flavors of Yiddish, his first language, and loved to laugh at a salty Yiddish joke. Though he walked with kings and queens at the climax of his career, he remained a man of modest tastes. He hated wearing tuxedos, took minimal interest in financial matters, and, as his son Elisha told me, he preferred instant coffee to the brewed variety because that was what he had been accustomed to in Europe. In old age, he told friends he wanted to be remembered not for his prestigious honors, or as the author of a landmark book about the Holocaust, or as a speaker on the world stage, but simply as the teacher he had been for more than 40 years. Wiesel became a revered world figure somewhat late in life. In his early 40s, he was a working journalist, freelancing for French and Israeli newspapers, hungry for scoops and interviews with the powerful and famous, barely scratching out enough to pay the rent, and sometimes relying on friends for a decent meal. Yes, he had already published Night, his harrowing account of Auschwitz and Buchenwald, that would sell millions of copies worldwide by the time of his death. But in 1960, when it was first published in English, it had found little more than 1,000 readers. For years after its publication, his talks about the Holocaust drew just a few dozen listeners. Wiesel was a complex figure. He had a sensitive ego that sometimes made it hard for him to work in groups, like the council that built the United States Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. Although he inspired the creation of the museum, he could not manage or abide the competitive jousting in the council and ultimately resigned its chairmanship before construction had started. There might also have been more than a smidgen of calculation in some of his nobler actions and speeches that served him and his cause. As the novelist Thane Rosenbaum wrote after his death, soft-spoken, but with the instincts of a Broadway press agent, he knew how to leverage a story and deliver the perfect soundbite. Yet Elie Wiesel became the torchbearer not just for the survivors. He was the most admired ambassador of the Jewish faith in the world, as well as a voice of conscience in many of the places where human rights were trampled. He expanded his message to draw attention to other genocides and warn the world that the lessons of the Holocaust had not been learned, that ethnic hatred, persecution of vulnerable minorities, and mass violence persisted in sundering humanity. Turning point or watershed, that tremendous catastrophe which has traumatized history has forever changed man's perception of responsibility toward
Sample complete. Ready to continue?